Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
In the first heat of the Sprint Championship, he sits in front and going further ahead. Buckle up, Wes is going to blitz them by, oh, down to the post. He's won it by 13 lengths.
Now, on Taz Racing Talk, time to talk greyhounds.
Well, it's been a huge week of greyhound racing around the states with the Puppy Championship, the Georgian Island Puppy Championship final at Devonport. We had the heat of the ladies' bracelet in Launceston and some good cards around the state to tell us all about the week. Greg Fay, how are you, Greg?
I'm very good, Shane.
Now, it's been a top week for yourself, but we'll get to that later. We'll start off with Hobart on Thursday night. It was a good week for Ted Medhurst. Nothing new in that.
I'd say a good week and a good month, 2 months, 3 months coming up, because he's unearthed some new dogs, mainly out of a St. Pierre litter and Wonga Willy calf. And Demi Carley started the ball rolling on debut in the first race, running 26.10. And then he followed up with Mandy Charm in the second race, litter sister running 26.46 and winning coming from behind. And a brother to her, Prescribe, also ran well in that race. And then he butted up with an ex-Victorian called Lily Set, a bit of an extravagant galloper, but it won well in ordinary company, it should be said, but obviously it's got the ability to go on. So, yes, Ted's at the peak of his game for about the 900th month in a row.
That's it. Gary Johnson a winning double.
Yes, Gary's got a very big team. Probably Ted Barry and Anthony Bullock have got the biggest teams in the state, but he had a good win with Colonel Kane, a dog that's sort of never really lived up to his potential, but there are late starters in life, and he might just be getting it all right now. And then later on, he won with an ex-Victorian called Red Fang, which got the job done over a fast-finishing Chicka Scott.
A couple of greyhounds in top form of late continued on. Sir Buddy, Dirty Rich and Amazing Harry.
Yes, Scott Fenton's recently taking over the training of Sir Buddy, and that's 3 out of 4 now, and that's clearly the hardest race he's taken on. Was too good for Pipstar, which was probably as good a beaten run during the week as there was, and the early leader Fritzun. Dirty Rich, another one in very good form lately. When he's able to lead, he's a very dangerous dog. He did that in what was a very rough house affair for a Grade 1 too. You don't normally see that kind of interference. But he won comfortably. And, both of them should win again.
An Amazing Harry, second win for the week.
Second win for the week. Terry Ackley's got him absolutely firing. And Terry doesn't race much at Hobart. And I'm pretty sure that dog hadn't been here. And to run down Major Headline, which won very well the week before and come up with 26.38, he's another one that's coming very good later in life.
He mightn't have been there too often, but he might be there more often in the future.
Absolutely. He's quite smart.
Now, Launceston on Monday night, Bill McNally had the short price favourite Baron Impact in the race. Well, he won the race, but not with the favourite.
No, look, Bill McNally, not many people in Tasmania maybe might realise that he's a bit of a journeyman. He's been living in a couple of different states and now he's settled on Tassie. Has a very good reputation from wherever he came as a good trainer, and he's only lightly raced a couple of dogs. Baron Impact won well at Devonport. Noble Magic was unlucky that day at Devonport, but she got to the lead first on Monday night. And whilst the time was pretty steady, both those dogs have got very good habits and should repeat.
Speaking of good trainers, Brendan Purcell, a winning double.
Yeah, he goes all right, doesn't he? Despicable Lee, box one was ideal. She worked hard early to get the lead off Blue Slugger, and then she was too good for that greyhound. And then later in the night, his highly rated Cool Puppy, having its first run at Launceston, soon found the lead and put that slow start behind him from Devonport. And he's now had, 5 runs in Tasmania for 4 wins. Very, very good galloper, that bloke.
And the red box to the 4 in the heats of the ladies' bracelet.
Certainly was. Hannah Bowden, we've been talking how Gaylene Townsend's done a marvellous job with Hannah Bowden, and that was then, the litter sisters, and she was dead stiff not to get both of them to win the 2 heats because Hannah Bowden led, was heavily challenged by Wee Fire, Pipstar, She's All Class was in trouble early and never in the race. But on the line, Hannah Bowden was going as well as anything and won by a length and a quarter. And then That Was Then, which is a better dog than Hannah Bowden. She got out with a 3 or 4 length lead mid-race, but sadly for those who backed her, you look back and see what was chasing, and it was a very powerful Islands Force. and right in the shadows of the post, Island Force nailed her, and they ran significantly quicker than the other heat. So you'd think one of those two would be hard to beat in the final.
11 races on the card at Devonport on Tuesday, and we've mentioned Ted Methurst. He had Black Sienna and T-Mac in race two. They ran the Quinella, and he followed up with the impressive Star Chamber in the third.
Ah, look, all of those greyhounds are pretty good. Black Sienna had no luck on debut up there the week before. T-Mac also had no luck and fell just passing the winning post, but showed that there's nothing wrong with him because they were 1-2 the entire trip. And then Star Chamber, you don't see many dogs come from as far back and get a check in the run as he did, because he was dead set last for the first 150. He got to the lead, and then he had to stave off a late challenge from Buckle Up Tango. Star Chamber, the only thing will stop him being a top dog is if he keeps beginning so badly.
In race number four, a dog by the name of Brutal Force won, and he won it in brutal fashion.
He did, and that was a lightly raced dog for Shane Whitney. There's a couple of this litter that are showing promise, and he had box eight, which was exactly where he wanted to be. Buckle Up Geordie led. He ran him down. Antivist was good again running third. That was pretty strong juvenile.
Now in race number five, you had a greyhound that you part owner along with your brother Gary, Touch of Venus, who's been winning form in the first leg of the quaddie. It was going to be the start of a big day for you.
Yeah, it certainly turned out that way. Look, I didn't really think box eight was to advantage for her, but she began probably the best she's ever begun, got up running second early, and then when she hit the lead, she's pretty strong to the line, and it wasn't a really strong field, but she won by a fair way, and 25.93 was, you know, as good as she's run so far.
Now, race number six, the George and Eileen Johnson Puppy Championship. It'll be a race very close to your heart, given the association that you would have had with the Johnson family and the respect in which they're held all around the state. You had three runners in the final. You had Rip and Tear, Breaker's Tip and Soul Sister, all trained by your brother Gary. You bred them together and you raced them together, and it was a winning trifecta.
Yeah, look, it was a bit of a dream come true, really. We thought both Rip and Tear and Breaker's Tip had a good chance, and as all most people talk about jockeys being bad judges, owners and trainers can be too, because we were sort of hoping that Soul Sister would get hard to the fence and make room for the other two, and all of that worked out perfectly, except she was too good for Rip and Tear. He led and did everything he normally does. Breaker's Tip, they beat him comfortably. He's a dog with a few hang-ups, mainly in his head, plays up very badly. But look, what can I say? She ran 25.64, which is the second quickest of the 25 Johnson juveniles that have been run over that trip, and the fastest Avalon Chief went on to run second in a Hobart 1000. So, you know, long way to go before you talk about things like that, but she's a terrific little chaser, and she got the job done well.
And it's been a wonderful litter for you.
Yeah, well, five in the litter, and the other one that wasn't in on the day was Bruni Venture, and he's probably better than all of them.
They've been pretty successful. They've been in four finals for four victories.
Yes, they have. They've contested four finals and they've won four. So, yeah, very pleased with them.
Yeah, future looking pretty bright there. And congratulations to Gary in his 71st year and firing on all cylinders. So yeah. We move to the final leg of the quaddie. Quick Advance was the jackpot greyhound from the Northwest Greyhound Racing Club. Over $2,200 was there for the taking for the Grubb family. And it hit the front of the home corner, looked set for victory, and you talk about litter mates, Roxy Rhythm got over the top and was able to sneer away the 2,200.
Talk about a party pooper. I mean, I don't think many people often get a winner and then have a stern talk to the dog afterwards. It cost them money. And as you said, she ran a brother down, which in itself was a bit of a shock. I mean, Roxy Rhythm, I think, has been out of form lately. And I might have even said so on the Greyhound Show. Whenever I say that about a dog, by the way, I think it's a good idea to back them pretty soon.
Yeah, jump on. Yep.
But Quick Advance, we know how strong he is and how much he loves Devonport. And he worked to get to the lead in the home term, but he was there and she nailed him. And, they ran 1-2, so it was still a good payday, but could have been $2,200 better if she'd have kept a beak out of it.
Absolutely. Now, we've mentioned the improved form of a greyhound like Sir Buddy. We've mentioned the form of kennels like Ted Medhurst and, of course, Gary Fay now. But what about the run Alan Anderson's having with Blue Tam?
Yes, he is in absolutely stellar form, isn't he? Both dog and trainer. He hasn't had the dog that long. It's won four of its last five. Just absolutely grown a leg. Like 25.73 was terrific on the day when you think the invitation race went 25.70. And he's so strong the last 100 metres. It's funny, he's not a wide runner, but towards the winning post he is. He sort of gets off the track in the straight, but gee, if Alan can keep him in that form, he'll win a better race.
Now, I'm a little disappointed this week, Greg. Our greyhound to follow, and I say our because they've been having such a great run, but your greyhound to follow didn't fire this week. So we're looking for you to bounce back to winning form. You've had about 10 straight, but we missed out last week.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm feeling under pressure now. Look, a first starter in race one of Gary Johnson's Buckle Up Rocco. I just like the way the pace he showed mid-race. He still got beaten comfortably, but I reckon one or two runs under his belt, he's going to be very hard to beat.
Sounds good to me. Buckle Up Rocco, the greyhound to follow. Again, congratulations on the week, and let's hope we can have another good one next week.
Thanks, Shane.
The people, the previews and selections in all three codes. This is Taz Racing Talk.
Another exciting week of greyhound racing coming up, kicking off with Hobart tomorrow night. The man is going to bring us every winner on the card and all the quaddies and all the best bets is Rick Puccinelli. How are you, Rick?
Well, Shane,
you've been doing it of late. We need you to do it again. So we've got the first leg of the quaddie race number 5 in Hobart. It's the grade 4. Where are we going?
Shane, I'm going with number 1, Warehouse Mouse. Ran second behind Molly Munro last week. Thought his run was good. Can only improve with the run. Got box one. It looks a desperate railer. It's a way to go. Now, on old form, I'd be putting this dog on top, Callaway Ernie. He's got an enormous record at Hobart. He's broken the 26-second barrier. His last few runs have been a little bit disappointing, but I think he might bounce back and run a bold race. 6-class Barbie's got a chance from the draw. And I also put in number 4, Lake Hyelia. She'll be one of the likely leaders. 1, 5, 6, and 4.
Second leg is the Botley Green Memorial Maiden.
Shane, I didn't know which way to go here, and I went with the two dogs that I thought might lead. I went with number 5, Top Line Tornado. The last few runs have been quite good, and its run behind Lily Set was okay last week when it ran second. Its amended time was 26.64. I don't think they're going to run any flash time. Put it on top. 2, Thomas Good. He ran second to Earl Donny. He led and got run down in the shadows of the post. He'd only be fitter for the run, put him in for second. Number 6, It's Crunch Time. Slow beginner, desperate railer, run zone very powerfully, you must include. And a dog that was well back last week and showed up and got tired very late was Prince Nitro. He has a tendency to miss the start. 5, 2, 6, and 1.
The third leg is the Invitation. I see the Launceston Cup winner Varco's come up with a red box.
Yeah, I think it's the way to go, Shane. I thought it had no luck last week behind Dirty Rich, and just from box one, I think it might punch through and be very hard to beat. 7, Good Questions, got an outstanding record in Hobart, been placed 4 from 4, got a good draw, definitely got a good chance. 8, Molly Munro, you can't do much more than win a last couple. She recorded 26.29. Look, box 8, she might be zooming across and she might be one of the likely leaders. And I put in number 6, Barnes Bay. He's always thereabouts. 1, 7, 8, and 6.
Last leg is the grade 5. One of Greg's recent black bookers, Princess Zara, goes around.
Yeah, Shane, I could only find her to run third last week and she ran fourth. And this week I'm actually going to jump on the bandwagon. I wasn't overly keen. She started very, very short last week. Greg must have a huge cult following because it was very short on all the totes and was miles under my odds, and I bet against her. Look, I think she can zoom in the first couple here, and I think she's the way to go. Number 3, Enfield Flame. Look, numerical form doesn't read anything flash. Just a drop down in class. Thought it had a chance at some respectable odds. 6, Smoke to George. Now, he's one of the likely leaders in the race, and he's got some chance if there was any trouble from behind. And the same can be said for a dog called Bad Boy Bobby. Look, showed up last week, showed good speed behind Amazing Harry. This is a bit of a drop in class. 4, 3, 6, and 5.
In the first leg, Rick's quaddy reads 1, 5, 6, 4. In the second leg, it's 5, 2, 6, 1. In the third leg, 1, 7, 8, 6. And in the last leg, 4, 3, 6, and 5. What about a best?
Shane, I'm going the coward's way. I found it a very, very tricky program. I went race 3, number 8, King Nitro. I reckon each way he'd be around the 9-4, 5-2 mark, and just from box 8, I don't think he can miss over the 340. He's got good speed. There's a lot of speed in this race, but I'm just banking that he might come across. Race 3, number 8, King Nitro, especially on the each way basis.
So as soon as you've mentioned King Nitro, I flashed through the car looking for Red Nitro, because they always win together, but he's not there this week.
No, he isn't, Shane.
Okay, we'll have to keep an eye on him a little later. Now, Launceston on Monday. It's going to be an interesting final of the ladies' bracelet, but that is race number 6. So what we need to do is get past the first leg. in the quaddy, it's the grade 5, race 5.
Shane, I can't find many chances in this race. I come up with number 1, Little Spin. Devonport run Tuesday was very, very good. And I went back to a few runs ago when it ran second to Buckle Up Fletch and they recorded 30.04 and its amended time was 30.22. Joanne Ivory's got a live chance from box 1 with Little Spin. I'm putting it on top. I put in number 3, Pedro's Vineyard. Alan Anderson's team's all conquering at the moment. She's strong. She posse up. She's a good beginner. I put her in for second. 6, Bronte's Bolt, racing very, very well at the moment. She's got a chance. And a dog that I'll be playing in my trifectas and first fours, and I'm actually going to put him in one of my quaddies, number 2, Idle By. His form reads very ordinary. I can tell the listeners that he's a desperate railer. I thought his few runs at Launceston have been A-OK. I'm including 1, 3, 6, and 2.
Race 6, the Steve King Ladies Bracelet Final. The heat winners last week, Islands Force and Hannah Bowden. Are you sticking with them?
I've actually gone out of that circle, Shane. I'm going with a dog called That Was Then. Got run down last week by Islands Force in 30 and 10. Look, it only got nabbed in the last couple of bounds. I think this show's highlighted how well Gaylene Townsend's going with a team of greyhounds at the moment. And I just think it's respectable, you know, 3 or 4 to 1. I think it's a good gamble, number 5, That Was Then. You've got to put Islands Force in for second. Look, her last two runs have been outstanding. She'll be thereabouts, and she's very, very strong to the line, and she'll run a bold race, number 2, Islands Force. I thought Pipstar had a chance from box 1, Shane. He's been placed 2 from 3. He's got good tactical speed. He'll punch through and he's got a chance. And I put in number 3, Hannah Bowden. I thought her win last week was very good in 30-34. And I think the win played pretty havoc to the times that were recorded on the night. So I wouldn't be worried about times for the night. 5, 2, 1, and 3.
Race number 7 could have been the final of the bracelet because a couple of them went round in the heats last week. And they certainly could have taken their places in the final. She's all classes in there. We've got Callaway Ernie and Black Rip making up the field as well. So it promises to be a good race, the invitation.
Yeah, Shane, the start's the key. There's no disputing that number 2, She's All Class, is the best greyhound. Now, she needs to lead to win, I think. Look, 2 runs ago, she punched through and held out a dog called Nui's Lad, and we know that he's sometimes one of the best beginners in the state. Oh, I've got to put her on top. I've got a little stat on her that she's had 5 runs from box 2 at Launceston for 4 wins. I think she can make it 5 out of 6. 2 on top. 1 Good Odds Demon's got a very, very good draw, and he's a great honest dog. He's no well beater, but he's just a great honest dog that gives 110%. I put in number 4, Rockville. Thought his run last win behind Oscar Ralph was very, very good when he ran second. His own individual time was 30.22. Thought he had a chance. And a dog that'll be playing my first 4 is number 3, Winkley Bent. Goes very good at Launceston, needs the fence, and come up with box 3. 2, 1, 4, and 3.
And the last leg is the grade 4. The leading chances look to be drawn inside.
Yeah, Shane, again, I found this a little bit of a tricky race. I'm going with the greyhound that I think will lead the race, and I refer to number 1, Great Taylors. Look, does get a little bit tired at the end of the 5.15, but he's got very, very good tactical speed. Just put him on top. 1 on top. 2 Golden Sage. Now, I can't catch this greyhound. Butch Deverell must have the key to him because one day he goes good and another day he goes poor. I think from box 2 he'll run a very, very forward race. 5 Mumford Sons coming, been freshened up since coming over back from the 720-metre races. Got it in for third. And I put in the well-drawn Little Miss Take. Now, she's been racing behind Good Odds Demon, Island Force, and she's dropped back to a grade 4, thought she had a chance. 1, 2, 5, and 8.
Rick's quaddy for Launceston in the first leg, 1, 3, 6, 2. Second leg, 5, 2, 1, 3. Third leg, 2, 1, 4, 3. And in the last, it's 1, 2, 5, and 8. Now, your best in Hobart was over the sprint of the 3:40. It was race number 3. Race number 3 in Launceston's over the 2:78. Don't tell me you've gone that way again.
I have, Shane. There's a greyhound there. There's a great little bitch in the race called Chandlin Betty. She's won her last 3. Graham Moat's freshened her up. He's put her in a 2.78. She's got very, very good manners. I think she'll win. Race 3, number 4, Shanlon Betty.
Okay, I must have been a mind reader in my earlier life. Now, in Devonport on Tuesday, the first leg of the quaddy is race number 5, and this looks a very tough race.
Yeah, Shane, I've gone with the 2 likely leaders. I really do think off my speed maps that number 1, Mini Mogul, and 6, Classic Crystal Innings, They're the two leaders in the race, and for that reason I went one to beat six. Alaskan Prince is going very, very good at the moment. He desperately needs the fence, and he's come up with box three. And I put in Cosmic Ray. He's won one from 60, but he keeps running a place. 1, 6, 3, and 2.
Secondly, it doesn't look to be any easier.
Yeah, Shane, the key to this race is number one Honest to Rod's guaranteed certain leader, but he's got a bit of opposition this week, and I think they'll run him down. I went 4 Good Question, 5 Class Barbie, 1 Honest to Rod, and 2 Hello Scott. I think the winner will come out of those 4, 5, 1, and 2.
In the third leg, well, Robert and Robin Grubb, I don't know whether they're talking again yet, the father and son combination after Roxy Rhythm was able to run down Quick Advance and cost the duo the 2200 in the jackpot competition that's held at Devonport last week. Great run by Roxy Rhythm to get over the top of Quick Advance. Which way are you going this week?
Shane, I'm going with number one, Quick Advance. He's got a great record at Devonport, and just from box one, I think he'll punch through and he'll either settle second or third. I think he's the way to go. I put in Roxy Rhythm in for second. No fluke last week. I thought the run the week before was A-OK, and she went round at very, very good odds. I put it in for second, Roxy Rhythm. 8 Flash Innings is a very, very good beginner and will be thereabouts. And my old mate King Nitro, he's backing up from Thursday night. He's got a chance. 1, 7, 8, and 3.
And he'll be backing up with a win against his name, you reckon?
Oh, well, he's got some chance. There's no doubt about that, Shane.
And in the last leg, it's the Greg Mansfield Division 2. We just had Greg on the show talking about thoroughbred racing this week. So this name is this race named after Greg. And we've got a couple of last start winners. Red Fang's in there. Amazing Harry is flying. And also Tay's Intention going well.
Yeah, Shane, I really do think this race will be won by the Inside Brigade. I went 1 Red Fang to beat 3 Amazing Harry, 2 Double Chance, and 4 Tay's Intention. I do think the winner will come out of the inside boxes. 1, 3, 2, and 4.
That'll make the Devonport Quadrilla in the first leg. 1, 6, 3, 2. In the second leg, 4, 5, 1, and 2. The third leg, 1, 7, 8, 3. And in the last, the inside boxes, 1, 3, 2, and 4. Don't tell me you've gone race 3 again.
No, Shane, no. Your psychic powers have eluded you today. Only 1 out of 2 correct today. Look, I went race 1, number 2, T-Mac. A very, very good run last week. Broke the 26-second barrier when running second. I think it'll spear straight to the lead. I think it's a pretty promising pup. Ted Murdoch has got an outstanding litter at the moment. Race 1, number 2, T-Mac.
Well, I'm tipping you've tipped a few winners this week again, Rick, and we'll keep a tally of them during the week, and I'll report back to you next week when we talk to you again on Taz Racing Talk.
No worries, Shane.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.